Isaiah 53:3-6. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The second reading is from John 10, verses 7 to 10. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
We're continuing our series in the I Am statements. Today is Jesus' statement, I am the gate for the sheep. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, as we approach your word this morning, we thank you for the hope we have in Christ Jesus, that our sins, the guilt of our sins has been paid for, that the slate of those who trust in Jesus has been wiped clean through the blood of your Son. And Lord, we praise you that it is Good Friday, despite it being a day when we celebrate the death of your Son. Because in your glory, you are able to use the greatest sin that was ever committed to save us from the guilt that we had done. In your glory, you are able to use such evil for good. And so we bring you all the praise and the glory for what you have done for us through your Son. And we pray that you would guide us now as we reflect on these verses. Amen. Well, back in the 15th century, when Spanish ships first began to sail to the Americas with the hope of finding new lands and new treasures, sailors faced all sorts of new problems associated with such a long journey. Have you ever heard someone say that they're down in the doldrums? Well, that saying comes from an incredibly treacherous area in the Atlantic Ocean, which is known as the doldrums. A ship that ends up in this particular area can be stuck there for days, months, weeks on end. And any ship that's caught in the doldrums can find themselves sooner or later at risk of running out of food or water. And one such ship found itself in the middle of the doldrums. Their fresh water supplies were just about depleted. After months of being stuck in that one spot with no wind to move that ship on. And as their shipmates began to start dying of thirst, all they could do was continue on, without any idea of how much longer this journey would take. But as it happened, off in the distance, they saw a small Peruvian boat out sailing. And when the Peruvians got close enough to see the condition of these Spanish sailors, they cried out, "Can we help?" To which the Spanish sailors cried out, "Water! We need water!" The Peruvians just called out, "Lower down your buckets." No, the Spanish sailors cried out. We need fresh water. They knew that in their dehydrated state, drinking salt water would surely kill them. But again, the Peruvians called out, lower down your buckets. What these Spanish sailors didn't know was that for the last few weeks of their journey, they'd been sailing where the Amazon River meets the Atlantic Ocean. These sailors were dying of thirst on this ship whilst they're floating on the largest source of fresh water anywhere in the world. For hundreds of miles in every single direction, the water was fresh and safe to drink. And yet these sailors had been on the ship dying of thirst in an ocean full of drinkable water. For these sailors, there was only one way to be saved. If they believed what the Peruvians were telling them and lowered down their buckets and drank, they would be saved. But if they refused, if they stubbornly refused to drink, then they would certainly all die. Today we're here to celebrate the death of Christ Jesus in our place. The good news that he came so that we might have life and have it to the full. But anyone who refuses to drink of his living water, anyone who rejects him as the only way of salvation and tries to find another way, is just like those sailors dying of thirst in a sea filled with drinkable water. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Or in other words, every time we have tried to live our way instead of God's way, God has considered the guilt of that sin and that rebellion so grievous, so serious, that the penalty for it is death. But the good news of Good Friday, the reason that we can call a day when we celebrate Christ's death Good Friday, is that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is a gift because Christ died in our place to pay the penalty that we deserve for all of the times that we have rebelled against God's will. There's only one way to God. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through Christ Jesus' death in our place. In the verses we're looking at today, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, I don't need to tell anyone here about sheep. In fact, I need you to tell me about sheep. But these days, when we think of a gate for the sheep, we might think of a gate that leads into a paddock where the sheep are kept where they're supposed to be, safe from harm. That isn't the gate that Jesus is talking about here. It's more like a gate going into a sheep pen. Now, of course, modern sheep pens are made out of galvanized tube steel, but back then they were made out of stones, lots and lots and lots of stones, dry stones placed on each other, cobbled together in a usually a circular shape kind of a wall with just one opening in and out of that pen. During the night, the shepherd would lead his sheep out of the pen. During the day, the shepherd would lead his sheep out of the pen and out into green pastures where they could feed. But at night, to protect them from all of the predators, he would lead them into that pen, and then he would lie down in the small opening in that pen, and he would be the gate, or she would be the gate. He would do this to protect them from all of the predators like lions, wolves, foxes, and jackals, not to mention thieves. Because inside that pen, the sheep were safe from all things that could harm them. They were protected by their shepherd. Any sheep that was not in that pen had no way of protecting itself. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pastures." Jesus, the good shepherd, willingly laid down his life for the sheep. And we are those sheep if we have faith in what he has done for us. If we're among those who have entered his pen through the gate, through him. It's as simple as trusting that the water is good to drink. But sadly, many still try and find other ways to get into that pen. They try and rely on their good works, on being a good person. They try and rely on being good enough for God, when all he requires is for them to enter through the gate. Jesus says in verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The one Jesus refers to as the thief is Satan or the devil. He is the one who tries to deceive the sheep, and he is the one whose lies are very, very convincing. He says, "Did God really say that there is only one way into the pen?" He says, "Surely God will accept you for all the good things that you've done." To others, he might say, "Would God really let someone like you into his pen?" And to others again, he might say, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." But while the thief tries to deceive the sheep, the shepherd came to bring them life, life to the full. The shepherd's message is simple, and yet there are still some incredibly smart people in our world who simply cannot grasp it. The shepherd did not come to kill and destroy. As John 3:17 tells us, he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the full. Not full of things, not full of success as the world measures success, but full of eternal value, full of confidence in what our Saviour has done for us, full of certainty despite our circumstances, and full of joy because of the certain hope of salvation that Jesus achieved when he went to the cross for us. Today, we're not just celebrating the death of a man over 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating the good news of God's love being poured out on those who trust in Jesus. We're celebrating Jesus becoming the gate for the sheep, the only way to enter into God's kingdom. He is the gate to life in the full, to a life that means something, a life with purpose, a life that means something now and will always mean something. It would be sad to return a gift so freely given. Yet there is only one way of salvation. And the only way to receive this way of salvation is to enter God's kingdom through the gate, through faith in what Jesus has done for us, in laying down his life, in willingly going to that cross, knowing what awaited him for you and for me. Let's pray. Father God, as we celebrate the hope of our salvation because of what you have done in sending your one and only Son to willingly lay down his life, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you our praise. We pray that you would help us never to try and enter through that gate you enter into that pen any other way than through the gate. And we pray in thanks for your love and your protection and for your willingness to pay such a high price that we might have life in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.